Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White Dove Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome back to the FemNation podcast. Today, I have Kimberly Stevenson, who is a coach for Money Pros and Number Crunchers, which of course, you're going to get me on my analytical geek side with that all day long. But thank you for coming on, Kimberly.
I'm so excited to be here with you, White Dove. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's just dive right in with the main question of the interview. Where did your entrepreneurial journey start?
So I would say I found it an interesting story because it's a story that I didn't embrace for a very long time. But my dad, who wasn't really a part of my life during the younger years of my life, was an entrepreneur. He never worked for anyone else. And I didn't realize how much of an impact he actually had on me until just recently. But I grew up kind of watching him run his own business. He was always kind of in the retail store business up north. He always ran like a corner grocery store and a couple of other things. And so for me, around about 1997, I'm probably telling my age at this point, 1998, I decided to kind of stick my toe in the business world. And I started, like a lot of us do, with the multi-level marketing, network marketing route. I took that route and tried that out and wanted to find out if that was for me. And then about 3 years later, I actually transitioned into running my own accounting and tax practice. And so I did that for a number of years and actually sold that business and moved to North Carolina from Florida and reopened the tax part of my business at that time. And then probably at this point, it's been about 2 or 3 years. I actually retired myself from doing taxes altogether. And now I just work with those people who are kind of in that industry. So
that's awesome. I can completely relate with the accounting world. Obviously, you and I have jammed on that conversation previously. But what about it that caused you to just open the door back up to a little bit of something for a minute as you were transitioning to what you wanted to do?
So I've always been this maverick, this renegade type of person. And although I know that, you know, a J-O-B, working in a corporate environment, I'm a degreed accountant, what is the typical route that most people would go. And, you know, you stick with a job for as long as you can. And, you know, you get something secure and you have great benefits. That just never really fit perfectly for me. You know, I always wanted to command my own schedule. I always wanted to make my own decisions about, you know, when I was working and what I was working on. And that was difficult for me. And so even after I sold my business and went back into corporate for a little bit, I always felt that tug, you know, and for me, it's all about freedom of decision. You know, freedom to be able to make the kind of choices that I want to make, who I want to work with. And when I want to work, you know, that's a big thing for me. You know, if I feel like working, you know, really late, I want to be able to do that. And if I don't feel like working one day at a certain, you know, at a particular time, I want to be able to make the choice to do that too. And so for me, running my own business always gave me that flexibility, always allowed me to, you know, pick up the kids when I needed to pick up the kids or start dinner when I needed to start dinner. You know, or choose not to work on a particular day if I didn't feel like working that day. And so, you know, that was always the tug for me. And then, you know, obviously it gave me better control over my income instead of having to wait for people to tell me when I had enough experience or, you know, if it was my turn. You know, that's a big thing I always hear, you know, you got to wait in line behind everybody else before a promotion can come to you. And I just feel like with your own business, I make those decisions for myself, you know, and mm-hmm. This is where I kind of ended up again. Yeah.
Tell me about the process of defining what you wanted to do in the long run that brought you to the business that you have now.
So, you know, I spent a lot of years. When I actually started school, I went into the military straight out of high school. And so I didn't start school right out of high school like most people do. And when I went into the military and decided to go back to school, I took what I guess I would consider the safe route. I did well in accounting in my first few courses. And so I stuck with that. You know, it came kind of naturally to me. And so the same thing happened when I started to transition and really think about how can I generate income for myself? I knew I was a good accountant. I knew I was, you know, I understood numbers. I understood, you know, financial statements and what it took to make a business work and work well. And so I wanted to do something that would be seamless and easy for me to really, you know, make the transition and be able to speak the language. And I noticed that there was a, you know, community of individuals in the particular town that I was living in that didn't have someone that could explain how their business worked and what, you know, kind of the real problems might be behind some of the challenges that they were having. Because oftentimes it's not what we see, you know, face value. It usually is something underlying that we haven't really thought about. And so I was able to help that particular community figure those things out in a way that made them comfortable. And so it was just natural. It was easy for me at the time to move into an accounting and tax role within my business. And I did that for a lot of years. And then frankly, I just kind of got a little tired of it, you know, the same day to day, day in, day out, month in, month out, close the books, you do the same thing every year. And someone one day said to me, you know, you're really good at this, but you don't seem like a normal, like, accountant. You are friendly, you smile, you laugh, you have a sense of humor, and, you know, not to knock accountants or anything like that, but that kind of became my tagline. I'm not your everyday accountant. I like to go beyond the numbers and explain what the story is that the numbers are telling. And so for me, that made it really easy to start speaking and on stages to take that kind of that knowledge and that expertise and, you know, weave stories and help people really understand the story that their numbers would, you know, are telling them. And so when I decided to retire myself from taxes, I decided that I didn't want to, like, completely walk away from everything that I had built. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I worked my way towards coaching, and last year decided that my focus would be on helping those people who were kind of in my spot. Those people who wanted to start accounting and tax businesses, but didn't necessarily have a CPA license, or they might want to, you know, help other people with their personal finances and help them build those types of businesses. So that's kind of how I got where I am.
So you have a very pretty good balance on your analytical and your creative side, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that you and I share very commonly, because the analytical side has to be either taught or you know, brought into existence if you're going to be an entrepreneur, because a lot of entrepreneurs lean more on the creative side. So that's a kind of a dueling role. Mm-hmm. How did you overcome the logic of your analytical brain trying to tell your creative side that no, this didn't make sense as you were shifting your business? Because there, that does come around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm an instinctive person by nature, and I do follow my gut. And so for me, that comes first, actually. You know, most, I think a lot of accountants, it's the other way around. But for me, I'm naturally instinctive. And so I've learned to listen to what my gut is telling me about what I'm seeing, you know, what the, like I said, the, what the story that the numbers are trying to tell me. And so I start there, and if I think back to when I was making the decision, I knew it wasn't working, and I knew what my heart was saying. I knew what my gut was saying. I just had to use the numbers to make it work. I had to, you know, look at the numbers and rearrange some things in my life, in my financial life, in my personal life. And, you know, how was I going to walk away from corporate, right? What was the plan with my budget? I had to make the numbers work to get kind of work myself backwards, reverse engineer it to get to where I really wanted to go. And so instead of saying, letting the numbers tell me no, I made the numbers tell me what I wanted them to say. Right. So I made the numbers tell me the story, share the story that I wanted to tell.
That you knew instinctively was the one you needed to.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So you leaned on both sides of that to create that path moving forward, which is a gift because not a lot of people have that, but that's what makes you a great coach, you know, because you can lean on both.
Yeah. I think it definitely, you know, for a while there, I would tell people, you know, when people would ask, why are you not doing taxes anymore? But you're still going to do my taxes, right? And I would have to explain to them, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not. If, you know, I tell people often, if you're not my parents or my children, I'm not doing your taxes for you. That's just, you know, those are the only folks that I'm doing taxes for. And people just didn't get it. But, you know, I do have a certain innate ability to take the numbers, make sense of the numbers really quickly that a lot of people don't necessarily have, and then understand what those numbers are trying to tell us. And so, I guess it does allow me to kind of lean both ways, you know, and figure out what makes sense and how to make the puzzle pieces all fit together.
What is one of the common mistakes that you see entrepreneurs that are getting into the business world, the business game, what is one that you feel like is kind of a reoccurring hiccup that they run into?
I don't know that we really know how to strategize. And this might sound, it might sound a little weird coming from me, you know, talking as a person who is naturally instinctive, right? But you have to be able to, I think, control that to some degree and understand how you think, how your gut works, you know, and then be able to take that and strategize, like to go from what is my big idea and where is it that I'm trying to go? Like, how do I formalize, you know, the steps that will get me there instead of saying, for instance, in some businesses, what you hear is just follow my path, just do exactly what your coach tells you to do. And that may or may not work for you in your business, right? You know, you find that a lot of times in certain in certain segments of the market. You know, I don't want to call anybody out, but they just tell you, just do exactly what we tell you to do and it'll work. We tried it, we tested it, and so on and so forth. And I find that you still have to strategize for yourself. You still have to make it make sense for your life, right? For your day-to-day, for your family. You still have to make it make sense for the way you speak, the way you communicate to people. You can't run your business by a script that someone else wrote. Right?
Because, you, I mean, that's
for your own.
And that's a 50-50 shot. You know, I mean, that's more of a gamble than anything because it may or it may not. And sometimes in the entrepreneurial growth phase, we as entrepreneurs need to take those gambles or those chances just to, you know, to test the waters of something. But at the same time, knowing and being aware that that is part of the strategy, that we're stepping into this, but not hinging everything on it succeeding, but what we can learn from it and what we need to learn may differ than what the complete outcome of that choice was. You know, I mean, there's a differentiation there. And I believe you spoke very well about the strategizing piece that is missing, because especially a lot of early entrepreneurs that haven't kind of been knocked around a little bit as much, they'll feel it. Being an entrepreneur is not easy. Mm-hmm. It's not for the faint of heart. but you feel a drive to make a difference somewhere, and you're going to continue to work towards what that looks like. And it's this layering back process. But the earlier entrepreneurs tend to want to believe that this or this or this XYZ is going to be that next definitive answer. Mm-hmm. And when you come across those entrepreneurs, how do you break it to them?
So something that I heard someone say, another coach say, is that, you know, entrepreneurship is simple. It can be simple, but not necessarily easy, right? Mm. Because especially in the online space, and I'm in the online space quite a bit, right? So in that space, what you see is 6, 7, 8-figure entrepreneurs that are showing you their highlight reels of what life is like for them today. Mm-hmm. And people tend to think that all I have to do is to do what this person is doing today. And they don't realize that in the very beginning stages of that business, it was a completely different situation. It was a completely different scenario. That person probably didn't have a team. That person probably didn't have the right tech. That person didn't have the experience. They didn't have the inside gut knowledge that they have today. You know, they didn't have the makeup artist. They didn't have the stylist. They didn't have all of those things that right now make it look really easy, right? But they followed a particular path. It was probably a lot of give and take, a lot of trial and error. And how many times on a sales page do you really see someone tell you truly what the errors, what they really were, or are they glossed over? And so I think that when you're talking about earlier or newer, what I like to call emerging entrepreneurs, we focus on the wrong things. We focus on all the things that glitter. And we don't realize that it takes a lot of polishing. It takes a lot of trial and error to get there, right? And so, you know, I try to set the tone with the clients that I work with from the very beginning. You know, I keep it real. And I can tell you that, you know, when I look at the numbers, this is the story that the numbers are telling you or telling us. And it's either going to work or it's probably not. But let's do this. Let's have several different contingency plans. Right. Depending on what choices we make. And if it works, we go this direction. If it doesn't, we go this direction. And that's the key, I think, to strategy. You know, that if then, I hate to throw some accounting some formulas in there, but
do it.
Kind of like an if then statement. Like if it works out, then. If it doesn't, then that. So
textbook.
Sorry. I'm still an accountant at heart.
I know. And that's something you just can't pull out of somebody. You know, once you know it, you just know it. Your eyes have been opened and it's just the way it is. Yeah. And that makes me think that, you know, think of the phrase, the only constant is change.
Absolutely.
You know, so even if those entrepreneurs, even when those entrepreneurs are looking at one person that is at this particular stage today, we did not see where they started from and what they, you know, worked with at that particular time where they're at. You know, yes, they can help us overcome certain obstacles. Yes, they can shortcut a couple of the pain points, but the overall journey that has to be learned is the one that you're going to walk through no matter what you try to do to sideline it or pay your way through it. You're still going to have to go through the growing pains.
You still have to take every single step on your own. You still have to put your toe in the water first mm-hmm. before anything else is going to, you know, hit the water. You still have to go through every growth spurt, right? Every contraction, mm-hmm. every, you know, expansion. You have to do that in order to reach your goals. So.
Mm-hmm. When did you find, or let me back that up. When you found that you got in your own way, what did you do to get out of your own way?
Ooh, oh my gosh. So usually I have to step away for a few days to come to that realization that I've been in my own way. And this is going to sound really, really strange, but what happened, I have to sleep a few nights on something. And then, and I may not know the answer when I wake up that third night, let's say, for instance, But when I turn on the shower and I stand under the water in the shower, it's like a light bulb. And it usually just, it hits me. You've been in your own way. And what you need to do is just back off, or you need to change direction. You need to change paths, or you need to talk to this type of person who has XYZ information for whatever the case may be that I was doing it, whether it's I need to invest, you know, in working, adding a team member that has a particular area of expertise, because that's my biggest struggle is I'm a DIYer. I can do that myself. Like, why do I need to spend the money? You know, I can handle that. I'm a smart gal. You know, I'll figure it out. I'll learn Infusionsoft on my own, you know, or I'll learn a certain, you know, tech product on my own instead of investing in someone who already has a particular skill set or knowledge base that can get something done a whole lot faster than I can. So sometimes it kind of just, it hits me like out of the blue, but it usually takes me a couple of days after I've been struggling with something. And then when it hits me, it's like, I could have had a V8. I should have known that like right away. Like, why not know that up front? But now that I do, you know, it's like Oprah says, when you know better, you do better. So
exactly.
That's kind of how that happens. But once I figure out that I'm the problem, I remove the problem. I remove mm-hmm. myself as the problem and get to the resources that I need to get back to the place where I need to be.
How do you define success?
Oh, wow. Great question. How do I define success? I define success as the ability to make the choices that I want to make on my own terms, without having the need to explain those choices or explain those desires to anyone. Mm. That's my brand of success, is to have that level of freedom.
So then how do you build from there? Because you have that. You've created that for yourself and that you are successful, which rightfully you are. So how do you expand on that? What does that look like?
So for me, what that looks like is helping other women do the same thing. Other women who have been in the same types of situations that I found myself in, whether it's being a single mom, you know, and raising children on your own, whether it's, you know, coming from a broken home, whether it's, you know, coming out of an abusive marriage, whatever the case may be, whether it's everything went right in my life and I just am not happy and I want something different for my life, but I don't quite know how to do it. For me, it's being able to lift as I climb, you know, and show another woman how she can have that same level of success. Number one, she deserves it. Number one, it is well within your rights to have it. And no one can tell you that you can't. No one can tell you based on, you know, any philosophies or whatever the case may be, that we have a certain position in this world, right?
Right.
It is our freedom. It is our right. It is our choice to be whomever it is that we choose to be. Mm-hmm. And if I can show another woman how to do that, and typically my you know, way of doing that is helping them generate income on their own. And then you have that choice, you have that ability, and I'm successful. That's how I grow that.
That's so cool. You did well with those words. Gosh, I love it. So you wrote a book.
I did.
Tell me about the book.
So I was divorced in 2008. After 18 years of marriage, right? And so throughout my marriage, my mom, she's probably gonna kill me for saying this. Throughout my marriage, my mom used to tell me all the time that I should always keep some mad money. I don't know if you've ever heard of that mm-hmm. mad yep. money. Keep some money in case somebody, you know, in case you get upset and you just need to go get your nails done or something like that. Keep some mad money. So when I got divorced, I wrote this book called Mad Money. And for me, MAD stands for Money After Divorce, Death, or Disaster, the seven financial 7 commitments to help you get your entire financial life. And in the book, I talk about those things, accepting your reality, committing to getting sage advice, committing to taking action, all of those kinds of things in the book. And the book is targeted towards unmarried women, women who are divorced, women who are single, women who are widowed, who really just want to take control over their financial life. And so I self-published the book back in 2016 at this point. I think it was 2000. Yeah, I think it's been a few years. It's been 2006 since 2016. And and that's the book. That's, you know.
Do you share some of your personal journey inside of that book, I'm assuming?
I do. I share a lot of things, a lot of challenges that I had, a lot of experiences that I encountered with my children. I talk about some things that happened during the marriage, why I decided that it was time to leave. I talk about an experience that I had when I took in a family member to live with me, and some advice that I got from someone other than, you know, that family member on the choice that she would have made compared to the choice that I made. I talk about all of those things and how those things actually connect with money and how they've developed, those experiences have developed my financial philosophy from a personal standpoint. So
what was it like to share that vulnerability in your book, knowing it's going out to the world?
Oh my gosh. So I used a book coach to help me write the book. And I can remember saying to her, this is the hardest thing I have ever done. And I thought it would be hard from a technical perspective, like the writing of it. And it wasn't hard to actually like put the words on paper. What was hard was recalling all of the hard things that I had been through and bringing all of those emotions back up. And when I hit the send button to send it to her, and she came back to me and she said, you are going to change lives with your story. It was frightening, but at the same time, it was liberating because, as I mentioned, one of my things is helping women. One of my desires is to help women who have been in abusive relationships. And unfortunately, my marriage wasn't a happy one. And I knew for a lot of years that it was not a happy marriage. And towards the end, it did become, extremely abusive. And that was hard for me. And one of the hardest things about that was not necessarily telling other people about what happened, but oh my gosh, what if my ex-husband read the book? Mm-hmm. What would happen if he read the book? Would he be mad? You know, would he come back? You know, would he, make a big to-do about the book? So I had to deal with a lot of that. And through a lot of, prayer and meditation and talking with some really good friends and getting some good therapy, I made it through that. And it's probably one of the proudest of accomplishments that I feel like I've made at this point. Mm-hmm.
You are strong. You're strong.
People tell me that. Yeah. So thank you.
But to be able to stand in the face of bringing up those emotions, those hard times, to be able to lay it on the table for other women to at least see another perspective that there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is another option. There, you don't have to stay in this, and you can be independent and you can have a business and you can have a happy life and you can do all those things. They are all that you made a book regarding that piece of it with the financial aspect, but also with the personal component to it. Mm-hmm. It is so intertwined. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you can't take the accountant out of the creativity for you. It just is.
Yeah, it is. It is all of the pieces of me. right? It's every piece. And sometimes, you know, I think we compartmentalize so many different pieces of our lives, but it's like you said, it is all intertwined. All of those things make up the person who I am. All of the pieces of your life, of your listeners' lives, make up the person, the woman, who she is. And you can't neglect any piece of it, right? You need every single piece to make you that whole person. The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, the stuff that makes you smile, the stuff that, you know, upsets you, the stuff that, you know, makes you cry. You need it all because we learn from it. We grow from it. We develop from it. And then we're able to share and help someone else on the journey. We're able to give back.
Yeah. How has the entrepreneurial journey itself changed you?
It's taught me so many lessons. And it's funny because I tend to think of myself as it's just something that I do, right? It comes naturally. I don't often give myself, you know, credit. I'm not that type of person that's patting myself on the back all the time. But when I listen to my sons who are adults now introduce me or tell someone who I am and explain to other people what it is that they want to do in their lives, and they talk about maintaining good credit, they talk about building a business, they talk about leaving a legacy, I realize that my entrepreneurial journey was my calling in life, if not just for me, but for my children. And it's something that I have to do. It's something that I'll always stand upon, right? Because when I look at my sons and I look at my grandson, I realize that all of this, everything that I've been through, has been for their good. And I didn't realize that when I was in my marriage and, you know, before I started my businesses, when I used to get mad at my dad, you know, to kind of bring it full circle, because he was always working in the store and he wouldn't let me, you know, do the things that I wanted to do in the store because I was a girl. but he would let my brother do certain things. But I didn't realize how much I was picking up, you know, how to run a business, from him, and the call that that entrepreneurship would have on my life until just recently when my grandson was born 8 weeks ago at this point. So, it really has changed who I am because it's given me, I think it's actually given me a bigger vision, right? I thought it was just for me and all of the choices and all of the freedom that I want to have, that I desire. And now I realize it's bigger. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than anything that I can do on my own. It's about my legacy. It's about helping other women achieve their dreams and their goals. It's about changing the world because I believe that women are so necessary in this world. And we don't get anywhere close to the credit that we need, that we deserve. It really has grown my vision.
Mm-hmm. And stepping in and allowing women to take the credit.
Absolutely.
That they're due.
Absolutely.
Because we have done a lot behind the scenes and we're just kind of moving into that era where let's step in and own it then.
Absolutely.
Because it's there for the taking, but we need to move in and take it. And we need to make that stand and say, yes, we do contribute. Yes, we did contribute. Yes, we will continue to contribute, but we're going to uplift and hold each other up. Our sisters and our, you know, our fellow entrepreneur women, we're going to hold each other up in the process. Absolutely. Because we're going to do this as a team, as a community of women.
And it's okay. You know, those badasses, like you were mentioning, you know, if we have to go balls to the walls and we offend someone, God forbid, or, you know, we make someone uncomfortable, oh, well, Times right. are changing. Get used to it. Let's go. Let's do this.
That's right.
You know, and it's, we've earned it.
We're fortunate to be a part of it.
I'm so excited about it.
I know. I'm like, let's go. Let's go, ladies. Let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. I'm just happy to see the contribution that when the world wakes up and realizes it's collaborative, what we can accomplish at that point.
That's right. Right. Collaboration over competition. There's enough in this world for every single one of us. There is no scarcity, you know, everything in abundance, everything in abundance. We just have Absolutely. To reach up and grab it. It's ours for the taking.
That's right. So tell the listeners, Kimberly, where they can find you.
So really easy. I strategized about this. So you can find me at Spark Hustle Flow everywhere. My website is sparkhustleflow.com. You can find me on Facebook under Spark Hustle Flow. If you go to my Facebook business, my business page on Facebook, there's a button there that you can join our group. It's called the Thrive Tribe for coaches, course creators, and consultants. And just look for the Spark Hustle Flow brand on Instagram. I'm everywhere. I'm all over.
As you should be.
I try to make it easy for folks.
It has been such a pleasure to jam with you today and talk about women, entrepreneurs, creativity, logic, and, and a little accounting in there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much. It has been a lot of fun. It's been my, my distinct honor and pleasure. Thanks so much for
having
me.
Thank you. I feel the same. Guys, if this profound conversation really just resonates with you, which I know that it does for the listeners because that's who this draws in, definitely check out what Kimberly's got going on because I've seen her in this space. I have seen the work that she can do and she is powerful. Don't let this one slip you by. And as always, keep moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the FemNation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.